If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time for Aftermath, this time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 27-20 win over the rival Auburn Tigers at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Alabama now winners of three straight on the Plains in the series. You knew it was going to take all 60 minutes, didn't you? I mean, even at 17-0 there in the second quarter, you knew it just couldn't be that easy, and it wasn't. Maybe in part due to Alabama and some of the things that we saw there midway through the second quarter, had a chance to put a little bit more of a foot on the neck of the Auburn Tigers. Didn't do it. Credit Auburn. Got up off the mat and did what we've seen so many times in this series before, make it a very competitive affair throughout. You had some heroes for Alabama late. You were wondering, weren't you? Right around the middle of the third quarter or so. You had that sequence really from the middle of the third quarter through, or middle of the second quarter, after the 17-0 start, when you had a couple of three and outs offensively going into the half. Auburn with a couple of 10 play possessions there in the second quarter. Only got field goals out of those. Alabama fortunate in some ways, no doubt about it. But as we talked about here on the channel, from a penalty perspective, it had been a problem for Auburn throughout the 2025 campaign, and that played out again. And I thought with some of the pass interference calls we saw, were they calling it a little bit tight? You can make an argument that that was the case, but I think we saw it called pretty much both ways, if nothing else. So if you want to jump into the show chat tonight, we are more than happy to engage with you if you would like to share your thoughts, your comments, as the Alabama Crimson Tide now SEC championship game eligible. Boy, going to be coming off an absolute war on the road before heading over to Atlanta. As we know, a rematch was going to be that way either way. After you know, it was either going to be Alabama, Georgia, or Alabama, Ole Miss. Well, it's going to be Alabama, Georgia. Question, of course, Kalen DeBoer asked about that in the postgame tonight. Did listen into that before we jump on here with you about his feelings on what Alabama has done just to this point in terms of being college football playoff solidified. And, you know, his points are good ones. 7-1 in the Southeastern Conference, 10 wins, 4-0 on the road in the Southeastern Conference. That's pretty stout. Only loss in the SEC is to a team in the top 10 in Oklahoma. Oklahoma had its struggles against LSU on Saturday in Norman before getting the job done. But we'll see with this committee. You know, it's hard to say. One good thing for Alabama in the win over Auburn, ran the football much more effectively than they had at any point really before Saturday night on the Plains. Came out, did some really good things in the run game, put themselves in some winnable situations, still had their struggles staying on the field. I think in third downs, Alabama for the game, 4 of 17 on third downs, but Fourth downs count too. 3 of 3 on those fourth downs, including the dramatic game winner. You know, I guess about the only thing that really would have surprised me there is if Alabama didn't snap the football on that fourth down. I know on the broadcast, Fowler and Herbstreit said they were stunned. I think that's part of the position of going for it on some of these fourth downs. I thought Missouri was stunned when Alabama snapped the ball in Columbia around midseason, and Ty Simpson hit Lottie Brooks on that big conversion. I'm almost to the point of thinking that's part of the plan, is that some of these defenses think they're not really going to snap this, are they? Well, they snapped it. And Isaiah Horton with his third touchdown of the game. This one, the game winner, as Alabama survives 27-20. And it was kind of the Oklahoma recipe for Alabama in this game. Total yards, just 280. Auburn with 411. 122 pass yards. Alabama actually outrushed offensively what it did in terms of the passing game. I don't know if anybody could have seen that coming and thought, yeah, Alabama will win the game if that's the case. But like Oklahoma in the win over Alabama, check out your turnover margin. +2 for Alabama, taking the ball away. Had opportunities for more, really. But Bray Hubbard had a hand in both of them. The interception, fastball from Ashton Daniels to his backup running back. Tough spot there for that guy, but it goes off his helmet and right into Bray Hubbard's hands. And that was a spot where Alabama had a chance to really, again, you know, we can talk about the middle of the second quarter when we got Grubb from the club calling plays at 17-0. Tried to dial up the flea flicker. And from that point forward, for an extended stretch, after that failed attempt at a flea flicker, it just felt like Alabama could not stay on the field offensively. Kind of got away from what got it to that point. Of course, if it works and Alabama goes up 24-0, you know, everybody's talking about Grubb the innovator, Grubb the play calling whiz, but it didn't. And then the Alabama defense, kind of simultaneous to that, started to have some of its own problems there, breaking down in some fundamentals that were really good for the first quarter and a half or so. Kicking game didn't help. You had the shank by Dowd after that first three and out midway through the second quarter. It was uncomplimentary football in large part that put Alabama in the situation of a 20-20 game. Alabama trying to finish the game with its dime package and had an opportunity. You know, Zay Mincy has an interception go right through his hands there in the fourth quarter. Would it have been an easy catch? No. But that's why he's on the field there. You've got him in a robber type of coverage, and you've got him repped up that ball's going to come your way. You got to finish the play. Then he complicates things greatly with a missed tackle on 3rd and 9, where if you just come under control, make a solid tackle after 5 or even 6 yards, you're playing 4th and 3. And those are the type of plays that get you in trouble on the road. I thought it was interesting. I tweeted this on X, or X'd it on X, whatever you call it these days. After that missed tackle, to me, it just felt like just stay in nickel the rest of the game. Don't go dime, you know, because you didn't have your best 11 players on the field in dime. Now, you had better players on the field in nickel, and that's pretty much, I think, what Alabama did the rest of the way. But Auburn in the second half, able to stay on the field with third downs, I think, or 5 of 8, maybe, in the second half on thirds, and also 2 for 2, maybe, on fourth down. So possession plays were certainly in the Tigers' favor, and that's why you got in a situation where Alabama, once again, in a fourth quarter. What about these Alabama games all season, too? I mean, 24-21, 27-20, 29-22, 23-21 with Oklahoma. It's like they're all in that same range, aren't they? And they sort of all have that fourth quarter possession where Alabama takes a lot of time off the clock. That game-winning drive, 7 minutes and 53 seconds before you convert the fourth and goal. And give Connor Talty a lot of credit today, too, tonight. Made the 45-yarder. I felt like a couple things. Don't be upside down in turnover margin. Alabama wasn't. And don't get killed in the kicking game. And Alabama did not get killed in the kicking game. Now, Dowd Shank was problematic there in the second quarter. But Talty drills a couple of field goals. I don't think that was a lack of confidence thing in him in the fourth quarter and going for it down there. Yeah, it would have been a tougher angle. But, you know, you could have taken a delay of game, backed it up, and helped with that. You know, give the guy the credit he deserves, I guess. But a 7-minute and 53-second drive, 15 plays, a light quarterback runs more in this game. I think it was revealed during the course of the game in some of the coverage that we saw that Ty has obviously felt the effects of a long season at this point. I think he was wired up to a TENS unit over on the Alabama bench, which tells you there's a likelihood he was dealing with maybe some back spasms or some issues related to his back. You hated to see Jam Miller go out of the game again with an injury, but there were opportunities for Alabama offensively. And Jam was a part of that too. I mean, you had the rail route there in the third quarter on a third down. You got the perfect play call against man coverage. And Jam's actually executed that play nicely in the past. Was Ty early in making that throw? I don't think so. Not in that situation. You know, if it's first down and you're trying to hit a shot against man coverage, maybe you let that thing cook a little bit before you drop that pass down the sideline to Jam Miller, but you're trying to stay on the field there. And Auburn is bringing it. So the ball has to come out quick. Jam has to get his head around quicker than he did, but wasn't able to do it. Otherwise, a lot of credit to Jam Miller and Daniel Hill. You know, I thought Daniel Hill in the fourth quarter, again, kind of running more to his size, but Jam with 83 yards on 15 carries, 5.5 yards per carry. Alabama, I think it was just maybe the third time this season that Alabama has averaged more than 4 yards per carry in a game. And the first time in SEC play, because I think the other two times were last week against Eastern Illinois and then like early in the season against ULM. So some firsts there as we move forward. But I want to hear from you folks too. What do we got here? Tax Me No More says, is Ryan Williams hurt or is he just checked out and gone next year? It was confounding, wasn't it, in a lot of ways for Ryan Williams because he wasn't always in the game, but he was in the game a good bit. But when he was in the game, he really wasn't targeted at all. It was almost more of just a all-time decoy situation. You know, you're a kid and you had that all-time quarterback when you're playing in the street or playing in the sand lot. You guys are probably too young for that. Very interesting. The passing game in general, bewildering, I guess is the word. And, you know, you give Auburn a lot of credit for that. I thought the passing game also really missed Josh Quavis tonight. Because there are some blitz beaters with him that you didn't have, obviously, with Caleb Edwards. I thought they tried to get Marshall Pritchett involved, another freshman in the passing game. It did not happen. But Auburn makes it tough. Auburn had just 3 sacks in the game, but it did also have 6 quarterback hurries and 4 pass breakups. I know Falk had one down there in the fourth quarter, I believe, right? When it looked like Ty wanted to go to Marshall Pritchett there in the end zone, but wasn't able to make it happen. I think that was right before the touchdown pass, maybe even. But Alabama stuck with it. And even in the red zone, you know, did kick the 1 red zone field goal, but 4 trips to the red zone, 3 touchdowns. That's typically going to come out pretty good for you. Auburn with just a couple of trips to the red zone did have the explosive plays more so in the passing game. But if I'd have gone into this game telling you Ashton Daniels is going to throw it 39 times, I think you would have felt good about Alabama getting it done. But you just had some breakdowns. You know, that middle of the third quarter, middle of the second quarter through the third quarter. It wasn't just Zay Mincy who had some rough sequences. Dejon Lee had a few struggles tonight. You know, the deep ball behind him, I think to Malcolm Simmons, right? Kind of got into a situation where his eyes told on him a little bit. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Maybe wanted to jump across her, it looked like. And I'm pretty sure he's got to have deeper than the deepest over there on that side. And you give up the explosive. You really had given up something very similar to that later in the second quarter when it was called back due to an illegal formation. You had an hold on Auburn that wiped out a big play. So got to clean some things up. I thought the pass rush got a little undisciplined as the game went on. Yonzi Pierre continues to do really good things, I would say, for the most part. It was good to have Quay Rousseau back. There were times where he did some good things, but I think at this point, Yonzi's clearly, to me, your top guy at the Wolf. You had the targeting penalty on Cam Calhoun, but Red Morgan played his tail off once again. At that Husky position, he was hit with one of those pass interferences. But I thought he also had some nice coverage on Cam Coleman on a slot fade there. I think it was in the second half. They got him matched up with Cam Coleman, and 10 targets for Cam Coleman in the game. Just 5 catches for 43 yards. Xavien Brown, a big part of that too. Xavien Brown played a really good football game. Bray Hubbard played a really good football game. I thought Red Morgan was really good. Then you had a couple of three other guys that were maybe a little bit hit or miss. Malcolm Simmons lit you up on just 3 catches, but he had 143 yards, and it would have been more. Could have been more. Auburn with a lot of drops in the game too. What else you got for me? Trent Wade, Iron Bowl is single-handedly keeping my cardiologist in business. Yeah, I've got a few things that do that with my cardiologist, Trent. Diet, DNA are among them, but certainly college football has probably shortened my life as well. A lot of Roll Tides in here. Bama Bob checking in. Sully, Little Joe C. I see Sam says, I'm sorry, Trav, but Bama have the better team. Poor offensive and defensive play calling. And poor execution kept Auburn in the game. I picked Alabama because Alabama has the better game, better team. I picked Alabama 24-17, 27-20. I think there was plenty to go around there for that extended stretch. I don't think it was just on the offensive and defensive brain trust. I do think there's enough out there at this point in the season where you got to anticipate teams understanding certain things and hitting you in areas. And if you're going to bring pressure, you better have guys on the back end that can tackle, especially if some of the guys you're bringing in the pressure are your best tacklers, like Bray Hubbard. I know he can't be everywhere at once, but if you're going to bring Bray Hubbard and you're going to play Zay Mincy in your dime, then Zay Mincy damn sure better tackle. Because if he's not, just stay in the nickel, which is what they did. It felt like after that. James chiming in. What is up with the fourth quarter play calling and running down the clock and giving yourself no room for error? They keep getting lucky. The defense pulls more magic tricks than Penn and Teller. I like the Penn and Teller reference, James. That's old school. I dig that. Yeah, it was a problem throughout the evening. I don't know if it was which is interesting because Grubb was on the sideline again. You would think communication would maybe be better with him down there because you got a couple of different ways to communicate, but it is so loud down there too. But maybe that can be a problem. They put a lot on Ty. I thought Grubb going down to the field might be a move to try to alleviate some of that, but you saw Ty still. I mean, play clock's under five, and he's just now getting into setting protections as it gets to 10. And the way they tried to communicate throughout the game, verbally, that's tough, man. That's tough in a place like that. Yeah, I don't, it could have been better, I think, in some different areas on both sides of the ball as far as the play calling and those type of things. But, Grubb had his hold my beer and watch this moment midway through the second quarter and felt like there was a little bit of a lull offensively after that. But again, there were plenty of opportunities for Alabama to make plays, some of which we've already talked about, and they didn't do it either. Chris chiming in, obviously happy with a road win down there, but I have no idea how Ryan Williams can't get any touches in this offense anymore, and Bernard only got two. It was mystifying because I could have seen it almost with one, especially Ryan, maybe, because throughout the season, we have seen Ryan on injury. We've seen him on the availability report. I don't recall seeing him this week, but he's been a semi-regular in terms of his availability going into games. Now, most of the time it's been probable that he was going to be able to go, but he was still there, which leads me to believe how much has he been able to do in certain weeks during the week. But Jeremy was very interesting tonight, I thought. Problem too, without Josh Quavis, I don't think this gets talked about enough, is I think it impacts your quick game, because you can flex him out there and he is going to do a good job in the quick game as a blocker in space, probably better space blocker than he is even from tighter formations. But you're going to lose some quick game, I think, when he's not out there, but I can't really tell you what the deal is with Ryan Williams in terms of no targets. More comments about Ty checking so much. I just think that's what's being given to him. I think Ty's probably being given two plays in the green dot. He's probably getting two plays. Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know this. Wouldn't surprise me if he's getting a run and a pass. And then after he sees the defense, he probably makes a check or goes with it and has to set the protections too. And by the way, Parker Brailsford's absence could have had something to do with all that too. I mean, Parker Brailsford wasn't wire to wire tonight. I mean, I'd go as far as to say, without knowing the snap counts exactly, that Geno Vandermark played more snaps tonight, maybe a considerable amount more. I give Brailsford a lot of credit, obviously not 100%. And as we talked about here on Roy in the lead up to the game, that's tough for a guy whose mobility and his technique and his footwork is a big part of his ability to excel at his size. So, he's dealing with a couple things. And I think Brailsford, when he's in there, I would think there's a lot more put on him in terms of identifying fronts, setting protections, or helping with it, or at least not having to include him in it as much. And then Brailsford can handle the front. He can handle his guys. But that could have had something to do with it tonight too, when you don't have Brailsford in there. And that's big, thinking about the SEC championship game coming up this week. I give Vandermark a lot of credit. He did some nice stuff. The design run in the first half where he got out and pulled on the pin and pull, I really like that with Ty in the run game. Chris wants to know, as bad as the passing game has been lately, why can't we scheme up some easy touches for our two most explosive playmakers I just feel like it's going to catch up with us next week and moving forward. And it might. It wasn't easy tonight. I thought they did some stuff in terms of moving the pocket a little bit that had potential to help them get some guys open. There was one play, maybe in the third quarter, I thought Grubb had a nice call on. And they didn't finish it, you know? So it kind of goes both ways. Kind of like jam on the rail, you know, where that's the perfect play call. Might go big if you get the completion. But at a minimum, you're going to convert the third down and stay on the field. Tim says, Kalen DeBoer dropped his cojones on the table with that fourth down play call. Man, that's what that guy does. You know? I see Sam, Grubb, and Womack all need to come up with better play calls to put players in better positions to be successful. Man, what a struggle that was. Paul Witt chiming in here. As you X'd earlier, Travis, good news is the committee went to bed when it was 17-0. Yeah, you know, when Alabama was running the ball early, I wanted maybe the committee to wake up and say, hey, look at this. Running the ball. You guys want to see the run game? Here it is. But I see Sam back in. Hey, give it up for Connor Talty. Absolutely. He had some big kicks. No doubt about it. I don't know, RD. I thought he did. The third nine was a blitz, you know? Third nine, he brought the blitz, right? When Mincy came flying up. The thing, it may not be the case, but it seems this way, okay? It seems like when teams get a pre-snap look at Alabama and go to check, or they do check, or they fake check, or whatever they do, it seems like Alabama checks directly into a 5 or 6 man pressure every time. He did dial up a blitz on third and long. Malcolm Simmons took that thing down inside the 10 after you broke a tackle. Tim chiming in, going to be tough to back-to-back UGA. They are probably the hottest team in the SEC heading into the playoffs. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've played a lot better since that first Alabama game. I would say, and we'll talk more about this on the channel this week, the flip in quarterback confidence, or just play around the quarterback too, has changed a good bit. And that's interesting because Georgia's without Colby Young, one of their best receivers right now. But other guys have stepped it up. And I think Georgia's going to have all their tight ends. This is, if you love tight ends, Georgia-Alabama's your game. And Alabama's, I don't know. I wouldn't think they're going to have Josh Cuevas. Who knows? But it's tough to back-to-back any good team. But it's also hard to pick against Alabama in an SEC championship game in Atlanta against Georgia. If you watch Georgia Tech Friday, and that's a little bit of an advantage for Georgia too, is playing Friday afternoon. You know, that's what, 36 hours different, 36 more hours of prep and rest and recovery for the Dogs after that game on Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're not, I mean, that was a 16-9 game. Alabama can get this game. We say this about, it seems like, Georgia-Alabama every time they play in an SEC championship game after Alabama barely beats a bad to average Auburn team on the Plains. What, the last three times, right? This will be the third time. And what was it, 2021 after the overtime game with Mechie to end it. Oh, my gosh. This is not going to be good against Georgia. And then, you know, go to Atlanta and beat the eventual national champions in their own backyard. 2023, Gravedigger at Auburn. Oh, geez. No way. struggle with that Auburn team. No way you're going to beat Georgia. Go to Atlanta, win the SEC championship. This will be the third straight year or time, basically, where you've had a similar sort of matchup or scenario for Alabama anyway. And I'm not saying Alabama doesn't have a lot to fix before next Saturday. They absolutely.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
We have a lot to fix, but I don't know how much Georgia, in terms of what it will present, Georgia doesn't have edge guys like those guys tonight, do they? Yeah. It's just, I say this every time, and I've said this every time before Alabama and Georgia play, when it feels like, oh boy, Georgia's just, and Georgia may blow Alabama out for all I know this time. But every week's a different matchup, you know? I know, Butch. Talty came through. Snaps and holds were good. He drilled him. Absolutely drilled him. Dowd, other than the one shank, was pretty good. He had the opportunity there to really end the game on the muffed punt. Seemed like you were right there. Just couldn't make the play. Trent Wade says, also, Travis, you were right. Talty just needed to not kick in Bryant-Denny Stadium. We did say that, didn't we? We did say earlier in the week, maybe the best thing for Connor Talty is that he will not be kicking in Bryant-Denny Stadium this week. Goes on the road, makes them both. Yeah, appreciate that, Trent. Those are the receipts I like. Yeah, it becomes a bit of a slog. Butch, my buddy, chiming in here again. I thought Grubb got badly outcoached most of the second half with Auburn's halftime adjustments. DJ Durkin can go. That's going to be interesting. I mean, tough enough to lose six in a row to your rival and three straight at home in the fashion in which Auburn has lost those games. But if you wake up Sunday and it's Alex Golish time, and maybe Alex Golish will be the next Patrick Fain die, for all I know, if he ends up at Auburn. If you know you end up down the list to that extent, and maybe you can have the best of all worlds if you're Auburn. Maybe you can bring in Golish, offensive guy, if Sumrall goes to Florida and Lane goes to LSU. Still waiting, by the way. I thought Lane might do like Saturday Night Live and do the cold open tonight and announce it at the end. Instead of live from Saturday night, live from New York, he could say, live from New York, I'm headed, or I'm staying in Oxford or whatever. But, well, maybe there's some scenarios like that. Maybe there's a scenario for Kane Womack. You know, if Golish ends up at Auburn and it gets down to Kane Womack at Arkansas, maybe he keeps Bobby Petrino around or tries to. I told Chase on here a couple of nights ago. That would have been myself if I've already talked to Arkansas, if I'm Kane, is I'd love to keep Bobby Petrino to do the offense. Yeah, that was the reference earlier about Jam, is that he's absolutely, I think he actually caught another one against Georgia in the regular season. Man, these things. I see Sam with Jam missed a pass out of the backfield in which he scored a TD 2 years ago in the SEC championship game. He caught another one, I think, against Georgia in Tuscaloosa in that crazy game last year. Yeah, I thought Xavier Brown was really good tonight. I thought the coverage Alabama likes to play for the most part would help against Cam Coleman, because it's an off coverage, and where Cam Coleman really excels is against man coverage, and he can go make plays with that size and incredible hands. in man coverage. But yeah, Xavien Brown is the real deal. Cam Coleman, boy, big fumble there late. Bray Hubbard, helmet on a football. And what about Deontay Lawson late in these SEC games? Being involved in those type of plays too. What else do we got? More Talty talk. RD says that 8-minute drive will go down in Iron Bowl lore. It probably should, but I just think the fourth down is what most people are going to just go back to. How about the fourth downs that Alabama's hit in that stadium against Auburn in these last three wins? Oof. You want to talk about haunted? Those will haunt you. And Butch makes the point about no Brailsford. Yeah. Give Geno Vandermark a lot of credit. I thought last week, it doesn't seem like much because the opponent, but that game came at a good time for what Brailsford's dealing with in terms of, and I know Vandermark in the past has played center, but just to get him that extra work in a game situation at the position because of what was coming not only this week, but if you win this week, what could be coming with Georgia? Let's see. We continue to move. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I mean, Durkin and Auburn, they're going to bring it. They don't have any problem. I thought they kind of did a good job like Oklahoma did. I thought they did get Simpson sped up a little bit early. I mean, I thought we saw even when he had protection, there was some fading in the pocket. A little bit Florida State-like. He's taking some big shots, too. Oh, Alabama Dave, I think you already know. Ala Dave asked, does Saban kick the field goal versus going for it? No, Nick kicks that ball down there. I think he does. I mean, the other side of that is you leave him down there. What about at 27-20 when there's like 20 seconds left and Alabama's going to punt the ball? You know, I was on X. I was wondering if Alabama might take the safety there. Still up five. Maybe you can run 10, 12. I think it was 24 seconds. I think there was still probably too much time left. If there was like 15 seconds, I would have taken the damn safety right there. No doubt. Yeah, I think Butch agrees here. Saban absolutely kicks the field goal. And probably still has all of his timeouts from the first half and the second half. Tom Sawyer says, Gump legend Isaiah Horton. That was a big play for Isaiah because he had the hold down there, you know. Yeah, that's part of the problem, too, offensively, is that Horton's not a great blocker either, though. I mean, you don't want to run quick game at Isaiah. And then, again, like I said earlier, when Quave is sitting in there, you lose one of those guys out on the perimeter. You know, Jeremy and Quavis, you know, you can do some different things with those guys. What else do we have here? Yeah, I liked earlier kind of the discipline and integrity that Alabama played with in the pass rush. I thought there in about the second quarter into the third quarter, it got a little too hero ballish, you know? I mean, you had to make Ashton Daniels get the ball out of his hand. You had to make him throw it. I don't have an answer about Ryan Williams at this point. I'm sure it will be a hot topic coming up this week. Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. And thank you, Anthony. By the way, if you do enjoy Ryer on YouTube, we would appreciate you hitting that subscribe button right now. Hit subscribe, turn on that notification bell. That way you're alerted to the content as it drops, when it drops. It may not all be for you. Some of it may be for you. But yeah, If you would subscribe to Ryer on YouTube, we would appreciate it. Hit us with a thumbs up right now. I think we got over 1,000 viewers. I think it says, man. It's almost midnight central. Really appreciate it, guys and gals. Great hearing from you, Anthony. That was concerning earlier. That was concerning earlier in the game because I thought they had what they wanted on the deep ball to Jeremy, and you don't hit him. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of, and tonight it may not have mattered because it didn't seem like even in max protection, they were protecting well enough, but kind of been wanting to see more double moves off of max protection and, you know, try to create some explosives that way. But Tom Sawyer asking, has Ty's lack of a deep ball caused Lottie to sort of pass him in the targets department? Ryan is an elite deep threat, but our quarterback skill set doesn't really jive with what Ryan brings to the table. There could be some of that. I think, though, that goes back to what I was talking about with double moves. And you've got to be very intentional, I feel like, with Ryan. And I think the earlier you can do it in the game, the better. But something is obviously amiss. Because he doesn't go, you know, he's had a couple of games now, earlier and later, where it's like, and I talked about it. He has shown up on some availability reports throughout the season. So what is he dealing with potentially physically? Is there more there? But we saw him out there a pretty good bit tonight, and there still wasn't much, if anything. You can't always tell either. You don't know where the progression or the pre-snap looks are taking Ty or where he thinks they're taking him. DML just beating, you know, he's cutting through the chase here. Are we in the playoff? You know, I think Alabama's credentials absolutely are college football playoff worthy. Do I trust the committee, should Alabama lose next Saturday in Atlanta, to put Alabama in as a technically three-loss team, even though it will have played one more game and in a championship game in a league like the Southeastern Conference? No, I don't trust them. I've been talking about that scenario for a month, potentially, how it could go down. And there's a reason why, because I don't trust people in this scenario, you know, in general. I think you have to go to Atlanta with the same mindset you went to Auburn. And if it plays out not to be the case and you lose and it plays out that you didn't have to win, great. But I think you got to go over there thinking you got to win. Do I think they should have to win? No. Now, you know, eye test. You go over there and get your doors blown off. That could be problematic. But if you go over there and it's a four-quarter game and you're in it the whole way and you lose by, say, a score, I still think they should be in. Do I trust this committee to put them in? No. I mean, the ACC is a disaster right now. SMU lost to Cal tonight. So Duke is in the ACC championship game at 7-5. Now, even if Duke wins, they're probably not going to be ranked high enough to get in, even as a conference champ. But what could potentially happen to Miami? I mean, there were some games this weekend that it probably went against your rooting interest, but you probably needed out. You needed teams to win. Like you probably should have pulled for Texas A&M to beat Texas. Now, maybe you pulled for Texas A&M. I don't know. You needed Ohio State to go ahead and tap out Michigan. I thought, you know, I got trust issues with these things. Let's see, what else do we have here? I see Sam. Travis, what are some issues that you see from this team that they need to get corrected before it comes back to bite them looking forward? I mean, they've got to, after this game, they got to get back to a level of not just respectability in the passing game, but formidability. They got to become a, they got to get back to what they were. I know Ty, you know, even in some of the games like Oklahoma where he turned it over, but they were still hitting some chunks. Feels like there's a little bit of a book out there right now in terms of how you play this offense. You know, it was the one interception Eastern Illinois had in the middle of the field. That little coverage there with that robber middle of the field coverage. And that's directly a result of all those dig routes that Alabama was hitting underneath like cover two or cover three deep. So what's the answer? Well, the answer before Josh Quavis got hurt was Josh Quavis. What's the answer for no Josh Quavis now? Trent says, my biggest issue with Grubb is why do we always run 15-yard developing routes when it's third and medium or third and short? Makes the OL have to hold up longer and forces Ty to keep the ball longer. I like more play action, actually, and move him on some of those. You know, some boot action on third and four, sprint him out. You know, those type of things. Auburn did a good job tonight, no doubt. I don't think so. We got a question. You think the Big 12 gets two teams in BYU and Texas Tech? I wouldn't think so, but it may depend on the ACC too. Let's see. Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. D-Mark with the comment, Travis, I've done a little history checking. When Alabama has won close Iron Bowls, Alabama's had dominant SEC championship games. Yeah, that was my point earlier about these close, harrowing wins at Jordan-Hare Stadium the two previous times down there. And then you go into Atlanta and take care of the Bulldogs. I'm not saying that's going to be the case. Every team's different. Every year's different. But, you know, those teams were different too. Yeah, Butch, they did. Brought the blitz on third and nine, and you don't make the tackle there. So just play nickel. Oh, it's absolutely going to be a battle with Georgia. No doubt about it, Keno. There were four teams playing for an SEC championship slot. Why did three of them play on Friday, essentially gaining an extra day? This is Byron chiming in here. I'll tell you why, Byron. Because ESPN says so. Gelato's about over, Ryan Grubb, he said. Well, we'll see with Ryan Grubb. I don't know. Maybe he ends up at Cal. I'll tell you this, Nick Rolovich is the interim out there in Berkeley right now after they made that change. You could do worse than Nick Rolovich for me, former Hawaii head coach, went to Washington State, got Krause with the administration. I think that guy could be a pretty good coach out there. Yeah, I kind of felt the same way too. We talked about that earlier, Butch, about Alabama matching up better with the Georgia defense than the AU. And because I don't know if Georgia personnel-wise will get after you as much. That's not really Kirby's kind of thing. And I think Georgia on that back end, you know, you can do some things against that. Now, you got to keep reminding yourself that potentially no Quavis as a part of that. And now with Jam out, does that change maybe Georgia's approach? I know Jam still missed at least one blitz pickup tonight against Adkins. So if Jam can't go, Daniel Hill actually did some good things, I thought, against the blitz tonight. But if he can't go, if Jam Miller doesn't go, and you're Daniel Hill, And maybe A.K. Deer, who we saw in the second half, give him credit. That was a tough spot he wandered into. They dial up a screen to him, which you're kind of wondering throughout the game with the looks that Alabama was getting. You're thinking, maybe a screen here? They did dial one up to A.K. It wasn't a thing of beauty, but I think he got 7 or 8 yards, and he took care of the football. You know, that's something now that Georgia will, I'm sure, contemplate in terms of how it plans to defend. You know, Quavis was so tough because Alabama could get you outflanked with him against those linebackers. You could slow down C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson and those guys a lot more with guys, you know, just like how Alabama ended the game in Athens. Out there in the right flat, right? You get those backers and everybody flowing, and then you come back and flat's wide ass open. I don't know. It's good to get Marshall Pritchett that type of work tonight, even though you didn't really have a whole lot to show for it. It won't be easy for him next week either against that defense, but he got some real bullets type of experience tonight. It's got to help him, I got to think. Yeah, I see Sam. I think it's a foot with Quavis. It's a good point, too, by T. Smitty. The Alabama defense has improved since the last time they played Georgia. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think in terms of matchups on that side, it matches up pretty well. I didn't think Gunnar Stockton was very confident at all in working all areas of the field against Alabama's defense in the first matchup. I thought that was probably the biggest separator between the two teams, was that Ty had no problem letting it rip in the middle of the field. Stockton was pretty hesitant about that. Stockton has gotten, since Alabama, I thought he had increased in his confidence with that. But then he threw a pick, I think, in the middle of the field against Georgia Tech on Friday, and it felt like after that pick, either Bobo or maybe Stockton just wasn't going there. There wasn't as much stuff in the middle of the field. I think the difference, too, though, is Georgia's offensive line is a lot healthier. It was. Now, I don't know how they came out of Tech. Going into Tech, I think Georgia felt like they had their guys, finally. They didn't have them against Alabama the first time. Although I think Drew Bobo had an injury against Georgia Tech starting center. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see. Alex Golish, Seager, I think has an offer from Arkansas, but don't think he is, at least prior to me going on here live, had committed to that job as of yet. Had a deep threat there in the first quarter, just didn't hit it with Bernard. You got to hit that throw. More Connor Talty love. Yeah, he did. Yeah, I know. I mean, we're kind of talking about Nick Saban earlier. If he kicks the field goal, I still think he kicks the field goal down there tonight. Who knows? It doesn't matter. But, and then the point is made, Nick Saban did an onside kick in the national championship. He did. I think he also had something in his back pocket that he felt like he could, the success rate was pretty high. It's a hell of a kick by Adam Griffith. Hell of a play by Marlin on that one. But Clemson did what Clemson had put on film, I guess, a lot. Kind of bailing and being soft on that edge over there. Still took some guts. I mean, I thought that took more guts than going to Tua in the second half, for sure. I don't know about that. B. Jaden, I don't know if the blocking was better without Josh Quavis. Edwards a couple of times where he just needed to get a little bit of something on a end or an edge, and he wasn't able to do it. And then in space, there's no comparison. I mean, that's not close. Still working through. Appreciate you guys again staying up. That's a good question too that we'll get into. We'll get into more as the week moves on in terms of if Alabama does beat, as Dustin asks here, UGA, does it secure a first round bye? I think it should. You know, one loss SEC team in conference with two wins over Georgia, a team that I would think would still be in the playoff with two losses, and their only two losses would be to Alabama. Yeah. I mean, because I don't see you putting Texas A&M up there. Texas A&M's a one-loss team, but who the hell did Texas A&M end up beating in the conference? Beat Notre Dame, that looks really good now. That's gotten a lot better as the season went on. But that's an awful resume, man. I mean, you do A&M's last two SEC games of the season. They had a half against South Carolina at home where they were outscored 30-3. All the credit in the world for coming back. They were still outscored 30-3 on their field by a bad 4-8 South Carolina team. And then what was it, 24-7 in the second half against Texas, the next SEC game? To me, there's no way A&M should be a top four seed. None. All right, we're almost at an hour. Anything else, folks, before we get out of here? It's this old man's bedtime almost. But as always, really appreciate you joining us here. Oh, gosh, it's that time where we have to start making some administrative decisions in the old show chat. I agree. Just win games. At this point, that's all it is. Win games. You beat Georgia this week, everything takes care of itself. No doubt about it. You're not waiting on a call from anybody at that point. It's everything's still. Everything to me from a first round bye is out there. I would think the only thing that's really gone right now based on what happens in Atlanta is a first round home game. I think it's either you're a first round bye or you're in playing on the road, or, you know, this committee decides to leave you out. That's kind of where I think it is right now. Tom Sawyer, we appreciate you. Thanks for all you do here on the show, chiming in with us, having a good time. Late night on a Saturday, 1 minute before midnight, Central Time. And with that, we're going to step aside right here on Aftermath. Thanks again for everyone who chimed in, who checked in. Another crazy one down at Jordan-Hare Stadium. What would it be without the theatrics down there on the plains? But we're going to have continuing coverage right here on Ryer on YouTube in the next 24 hours and beyond. So keep it locked and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to the programming as it drops. And a thumbs up. How about a thumbs up? Keeping up the old man this late. Seriously. Really appreciate you. Have a great rest of your Saturday night. Have a great rest of your weekend, and get ready for SEC Championship talk throughout the week right here on Ryer on YouTube. Until next time, so long, everybody.